for me, what a role of a farmer is, we hold a lot of responsibility with minding a piece of the earth. It's a privilege to be minding such a precious commodity, and we have the potential to create a lot of good for, you know, environment, our community's health, our own health, employing people potentially for the biodiversity, for the nutritious food. And it's also giving people a bit of hope to see, you know, what the ecosystem could look like into the future. My name is Fergal. I live on the farm here in West Clare in Moy. We have about 66 acres of quite marginal land, kind of wild land near the sea. I grew up on an organic vegetable farm, so horticulture would be my background. So that's our main occupation, our main enterprise here on the farm. But I'm also probably most interested in the regeneration of like land and pastures, and so that brings me into animals, and I'm getting more and more into the animal side of things. So we're at the kind of lowest field on the farm, which would be kind of the most out of the wind, and it'd be one of our better fields. It's where I started to graze and where I've seen the most changes over the last few years. I remember standing down the gate and it was like that evening light where it gets all golden, and looking across the top of the grass, it being about knee high or thigh high, and just seeing, all I could see was insects floating above the tops of the grass and all the different colours, and you know, it just looked phenomenal. And that's when I was just like, wow, that was amazing. A few cows can make that impact in one season. I was just blown away, yeah. It's a market garden, essentially. We have two market gardens. We actually had a small farm at the top. It's only a few acres, really, where we began. And then we bought this land down here. So we have a garden at the top of the hill and a garden at the bottom. One is kind of called a black garden, which would be like a kind of more boggy soil. And then we have a garden lower down, which is a bit more dry and mineral soil. So we've about four big 100-foot tunnels, we've a couple of small tunnels, we have movable tunnels, and then the rest is outside, and we do up to about 2 acres outside. And then it's market garden crops. We don't do much in the field scale kind of root veg stuff. We do carrots, kind of summer turnips, but the rest is more kind of greens and salads and beetroot and onions, spring onions, and then tomatoes and all the kind of summer crops in the tunnel, and the more high value crops. And then we sell direct through we have a farm shop here, and then we do two markets. Yeah, I would see my mission is we have great opportunities as farmers to turn the kind of the problems around and show how we can build soil, store carbon, create biodiversity, and have healthy food and feed people in our communities. And that to me is just, you know, very exciting and also very rewarding if we can achieve that. And I would see farming as a very positive, exciting occupation, whereas it seems to be portrayed as some poor, you know, you don't get paid much, it's hard work, and it's part of problems. But actually, I would flip it over and say it's a very exciting occupation to be in at this time. Manual labor with human hands can only do so much, whereas animals are designed to work with nature. Like, they have evolved with grass, with the soil. They have built the soil. It wasn't humans that built the soil on the earth, it was animals. So that's where I'm so excited, where the working with animals, and that means nature, it's so exciting. And seeing that impact, how you just time it right and observe every bit of nature, and you don't get it right, and you'll get, you know, messages that you have messed it up, and then you know why, and then you really get more sensitive with the landscape, and each landscape is different, and which animals suit more, and which breeds are going to be better, and your stocking rate, and all that kind of stuff. Is it's fascinating to see how you can aid on this whole ecosystem to start to thrive, because nature wants to thrive. Some people are so bought into a system, maybe they just feel they can't change, and maybe it's going to be the next generation that inherits that farm is more able to change. But I think every farmer can definitely make small changes and still keep the same system going. Like, you know, with dairy farms, I always find it interesting, they have a lot of laneways, you know, and you could easily be planting each side of the laneway just with trees, or even put in apple trees and have another crop, you know. Obviously, we're always stretched for time and all that stuff, but you'll see the benefits. Like, you just have to go to a farm that has done it, and you know, you're not making a risk. It's actually going to work. Where I think that's a big thing where farmer to farmer learning really, really works. Where if someone's 15 years with an idea, and then you've got a similar context, you know, there isn't very little risk there, and you're only going to start to see the benefits. If you start seeing more wildlife, you're seeing, you know, less parasite problems, you're going to see less whatever. It's like, you will be won over by nature, because it's brilliant. Like, when nature functions, it's so sublime, and that's, you know, that makes farming easier. I always find it a little bit sad to watch the farming sector, just how much we're convinced by, essentially, it's middlemen of one sort, trying to sell something, be it in a bag or take the primary product and they sell it on. And, you know, at the end of the day, as farmers often tell me, like, no one pays the farmer if the cow dies. You know, if the vet gets called out, the vet gets paid. Whereas the farmer takes all the risk, does all the work, and really don't get the value. It's the middleman who's selling the raw produce who adds the value, or it's the person selling the service or the product who gets paid. And I'd love to see farmers just take a little bit of that initiative or that kind of control back to their own farm and then to their own community. Because I think consumers are a little bit ahead of the farmers at this stage, where they would love to be buying their milk off their neighbor and their raw, you know, organic produce or whatever, or their, you know, their meat directly. But farmers need to kind of almost create it. And it's very difficult, because to do that, there's a lot of red tape, there's a lot of bureaucracy, there's a lot of, you know, sales and marketing that farmers maybe don't have the skills in. But, you know, if you see the return you get, like, instead of selling your milk for whatever you get, and you can sell it for €2 directly to your neighbor, like, it makes sense, you know. It's a bit of work for the farmer, but I think the scope is there for the farmer. So this is Finnish compost from a guy in Newcastle West in Limerick. And because we practice a no-dig farm, so what we do is we just broad fork the beds with a big fork, which aerates and loosens the soil, but we don't turn it. And then we just add this Finnish compost. And by doing that, we're not upturning any seeds, and then putting the weed-free compost on top gives us a good 6 to 8 weeks with no weeding to do. The no-dig is great. And when we had the couple of droughts, you know, the last few years, it was amazing to see that summer in 18, and there was other horticulturists in the burn and place. Now the burn obviously gets very dry, didn't have any veg, didn't have anything, everything stopped, whereas everything grew faster. Like, that drought was just amazing, because if you imagine, you put down all this compost, we haven't tilled, so whatever moisture is in the soil is just kept in the soil, and you're adding a sponge on top. That was just like, wow, it is all worth the work, because we didn't have a problem. Whereas people who were tilling and aerating their soil through rotivating or whatever, making their soil dry in the spring, didn't have anything happen in the summer when it got hot. You see, like, the neighbouring farms are quite bare and, you know, not many hedgerows. And we've planted at least 3 lines of trees on every hedgerow around the farm. There's 26,000 new trees planted in the last few years. And created alleyways and different things, and the amount of birds and wildlife that come in here versus the other farm are quite stark. And any of the few hunters and people, they're always kind of skirting around the edges of our farm, because it's where all the animals come to, because there's a lot of hiding places basically. It's really interesting, because the top of the farm is about 650 feet up, and then we've got an 80 meter drop, so we kind of get a whole range top to bottom. But at the top of the farm, we get a lot of birds of prey. And we have hen harriers here, which are really rare. So we have them in the winter. They come over from the Mount Callan. Yeah, it's amazing.